5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program. Hey!
Hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. As always, delighted to share 3 hours of common sense conservative values with you. You know, this is a really bad day to be Barack Obama. I'm just going to say it, and I'm going to tell you that out of the gates right now, before we do anything, today is a really bad day to be Barack Obama, because the fundamental transformation that that clown projected, proposed, and tried to execute on the American people is blowing up. And we're going to walk through it. I'm going to leave you energized. We're going to give you some fodder. We're going to give you some food for thought. We're going to give you some ammunition to go after the people in your life who don't know what the heck is going on. You're going to have all the tools that you need to take them down. All you need is what? 3 hours right here? Well, welcome home, everybody. We're glad you're with us. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You know, and I was just thinking about that in the last half hour. I'm like, what was the beginning of the end? What was the beginning, the seeds that had to be planted in order for us to be where we are today? Where we have a Republican candidate for president in Donald Trump, who has been dragged through so much nonsense. He is being charged by box-checking DAs who have been funded by George Soros' dark money, who have voted and ruled to defund the police, not go after criminals, make all of us unsafe, and at the same time, focus like it's an addiction on destroying Donald Trump. And along the way, unknowingly to these clowns, they have awakened sleeping giants. The Jewish community, 8 million people in the country, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a huge voting block. How can a Jew in America today vote Democrat ever again? They are seeing what's going on at Columbia University, at NYU, at Harvard, at Yale, as the fruits of woke progressive indoctrination are going through the process of having their homing chips activated. They're getting their clone trooper outfits on. They've been brainwashed. They're now ginned up, angry, and damn it, they're not going to take it anymore. And so they are terrorizing their schools. And all these big dollar donors, many of them who are Jews, are saying, oh, hell no. Ladies and gentlemen, for Alan Dershowitz, not just to rebuke the college where he used to teach, but to say it's about time he walk away from the Democrat Party. Wow. That progressive transformation that Barack Obama envisioned and freaking campaigned on. And people were so damn blind They just wanted to get to the lever the fastest. It's about time America voted for somebody who wasn't a white man. See, that was problem number one. Falling for all of the garbage. That the system somehow is rigged. And the only way to fix it is to try to equalize everybody. Fundamentally impossible. It's not the way the law of the universe works. We are not all, by the way, created with the same aptitudes, the same plans, the same work ethic, the same God-given gifts and talents. We are just not. And trying to litigate it, trying to browbeat people into behaving certain ways so that you can achieve some faux evening, which is, by the way, called socialism, is not sustainable. And so what do we have now? Pro-Hamas activists marching on the NYPD headquarters after the police there grew a pair and they showed up and they dismantled NYU's pro-Hamas camp. You've got this sniveling spawn, the people who have been indoctrinated since the womb, matriculating now. Getting their caps and gowns, getting ready to go hit the streets and be the active, militant, ne'er-do-well, discontent crew that they are. And people are waking up. Wait, what's going on? Do you know what Jews are on college campuses now, ladies and gentlemen? These people are now January Sixers. They are now the targeted enemy. They will be hunted the way January Sixers were. Not in such a government-sophisticated geo-tracking way. But this is exactly what it feels like when an entire political party demonizes you, turns on you, throws you to the wolves. And Jews all across America are waking up to that. Did you guys see this? Robert Kraft, founder of the Foundation to Combat Anti-Semitism at Columbia University, saying, yo, I'm not down with what you and your incompetent university leadership, who are afraid of 18, 19, 20, and 21-year-olds. Oh, no, what are they going to do? This is what a lack of discipline, helicopter parenting, bubble wrapping, and freaking participation trophies gets you. A bunch of kids who've contributed nothing to society, who think they can demand from those of us who have, who've built, who've suffered, who've sweat, who've sacrificed, who've made it happen for them. And by the way, their student loans can be forgiven because you're going to pay for them, according to Joe Biden. Columbia University, Bob Kraft saying, you know what? Buzz off. Done. Done. Kiss my money goodbye. This is what he put out on as a statement. It was through the full academic scholarship Columbia gave me that I was able to attend college and get my start in life, and for that I've been tremendously grateful. However, the school I love so much, the one that welcomed me and provided me with so much opportunity, is no longer an institution I recognize. What? Yeah, they've turned it into a freaking chop zone. Who needs Portland and Seattle? Who needs Black Lives Matter when you've got the pro-Hamas cult of grifters who have no freaking idea what they are talking about? Free Palestine. You all are the ones who broke across the border with some help from the inside in Israel on October 7th, and freaking terrorized 2,000 people. And you killed 1,200 of them. And you raped the women in front of their children. And you beheaded their babies. And we have kids on college campuses in the United States of America in the year 2024 who are pro-Hamas. Get out of my country! Leave. You know what? We're moving all these migrants all over the place. There's got to be a few a few planes around that we can load up with these people, send them over to the Gaza Strip. Let's see how all these people with purple hair and nose rings who look like hell on a stick, let's see how they would fare over there in the place that they want to disrupt places of higher education to protest in favor of Barack Obama. Brother, you tried. Good college try. You wanted to. The fundamental transformation in some wacky likeness that wasn't yours because you were merely an acolyte. You were their spawn. And you planted the seeds. And your minions watered them. And they got the fertilizer. The problem is, the groups that you have counted on in the past, who you've lied to and invited under your tent, who see now that they are not welcome, have the ability to fight back against you. The court cases against Donald Trump blowing up as we speak. All of it is unraveling. Barack, I sure hope if you're on Martha's Vineyard, my man, and you're sitting there looking at your multi-million dollar landscape, minus the chef, of course, that you see it all. Because the tidal wave be coming. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, my friends, John Fetterman. Come on, this isn't John Fetterman. Do you have to have a stroke these days to all of a sudden make sense? I mean, because, right? All of a sudden, he's like, I get behind what this guy's talking about. He says there is a rhino in the Senate that he suggests should lead Harvard University to make it less left and woke and suck. Wow, wait till you hear who it is next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, the world seems like we're on the wrong axis. Things are going around kind of weird because the more this, whomever John Fetterman is, who knows, guys? I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, but I find it very intriguing that he was kind of a dope to begin with. Not a very good orator, not very good with his words. And then he has a stroke and can't communicate at all without machines, right? In fact, when he debated Dr. Oz for the Pennsylvania Senate seat, his opening line was, "Hello and good night." Now you're trying to tell me that it's John Fetterman who's putting together these pretty accurate, intriguing, possible scenarios for the future. He's the guy I align with more than anybody else. What? What's happening? What's next? Locusts? DailyCaller.com. You guys are going to love this. John Fetterman says GOP senator should be Harvard president to recalibrate it from, quote, far left orthodoxy. Look, we got a recalibration all over the country, ladies and gentlemen. I told you about my alma mater. Look, you know when you're going to Boulder, Colorado, it is not uncommon for people to stop shaving their heads and shaving their legs, rather, and showering altogether, right? Hacky sack with wool socks, shorts, and, you know, Birkenstocks. Yeah, that's what you're getting at the foot of the Rocky Mountains, right? What did you want to do there, Brock?
You forgot man buns.
Well, there are man
and
buns,
Subarus,
skinny jeans, and, of course, the kayak hanging up in the garage. You know what you're getting. But when I graduated a million years ago, but I get the, you know, bold, the campus newsletter, right? The magazine, the Coloradan. And you open it up and they have a picture of a guy. They're really super excited. He is the visiting conservative professor for the year. It's so skewed with only liberal professors and faculty members that somebody kind of like Yuri Berliner from NPR was like, is it me or are we like in this homogenized, progressive, sucky echo chamber? Maybe we should get some diversity of opinion. So, wow, they did something big. They went out and every single year they get one person who's conservative to come be like the guest freak on campus for the year. Ooh, everybody get your tickets. We're going into the big top to see this wacko talk about conservative values, right? It's not a surprise. It's not just Harvard that needs to be recalibrated. What's the value of this anymore? Certainly not these quote-unquote elite schools. Who would ever want their kid to go there? How embarrassing. So here's the story. Democratic Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman endorsed an op-ed by the Washington Post calling on Republican Utah Senator Mitt Romney to serve as the president of Harvard University to recalibrate it from far-left orthodoxy. Can you imagine that? He's so boring. He's almost as boring as Bob Casey Jr. It's tough. The piece called Harvard is in an almighty mess. Let Mitt Romney clean it up. Called on Romney to use his, quote, unique bridge building character to break apart Harvard's age of toxic polarization. If you've got the Washington freaking Post op-ed clowns being like, yo, there's something going on out there, and it's really bad. We need somebody to clean it up. Who do we dislike the most? Mitt Romney. All right, let's suggest him for the job. Right? The op-ed's writer, David Rosen, condemned his alma mater for allegedly failing to combat the growing anti-Semitism on campus since the October 7th terror attack on Israel. Isn't progressivism, isn't liberalism, isn't the entire umbrella of left-wing suck orthodoxy, isn't it predicated on this overarching idea of do-goodery, right? I'm such a good person. I'm going to go and I'm going to do something and I'm going to get involved and we're going to get all these victim groups and we're going to welcome anybody who's a misfit. It's the land of misfit toys. Come on in. Come hang with us. We got you, right? You got a limp? Come on over, right? Lisp? Sure, we got you. It's all predicated on being more humane, more thoughtful, more wholesome. And these leftists, they really, oh, they are such good people, right? So what happened? Why does everybody hate Jewish people? I don't. Why on earth is this going on? It blows apart Barack Obama's transformation. Because the transformation, in order for it to succeed, for him to finish the job through Joe Biden, because that's what that is. It's not Joe. Joe'll be dead, right? Or completely incapacitated. It's not about that. It's about Barack Obama finishing the job for which he similarly was groomed at Columbia. You know, we talk about this grooming now as though it's new. Like, what? There's grooming? People try to make other people in their likeness? They manipulate them and they do all the... That's so gross. Yeah. And it's been going on a long time. Barack Obama is simply looking for the spawn of that satanic idea that we need to transform America to make it a warring, angry, invaded, militarized, drop to your knees and acquiesce to big government's every request or else. It's not really selling. And the left are the people who are waking up. All of the donors to these schools, all the parents, yay, my child got into NYU. Get them the hell out. We got to recalibrate, friends. Amen, we do. Hey, when we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, Joe Biden's Charlottesville moment. You know, the very fine people on both sides thing. Yeah, he just walked into a big poo sandwich. I love this. Next. Welcome back, my friends. Well, it is Joe Biden's Charlottesville, brought to you by Pfizer. We should have sponsors, right? Like that. Those titles, Joe Biden's Charlottesville. You know, I think about all of the ridiculous things that the left has taken from Donald Trump and twisted and manipulated and fiddled with to create a narrative that you have this rich, pompous jerk who really doesn't like most people, who just because he wants to be, because his ego is insatiable. This is a man who thinks he can have any woman he wants, whether she wants him back, right? He can say whatever he wants about anybody. And he doesn't really like people who don't look like he does. He probably even likes Nazis. It's so tiresome. And as Rush Limbaugh said in one of our opens, it's just so, so predictable. Well, this Charlottesville-ish kind of oopsies from Joe Biden. I want to set you up with the audio. All right, so one of these reporters is going to be talking to him about what's going on at Columbia University. Now, what's going on at Columbia University is a bunch of jerk students who think they know what they're talking about, who are malleable, mushy. Their brains are open for the seeds of suck, and they've absorbed them, and they've incubated them, and they've taken root like our chia pet here in the studio, and it's gone, and now you have the fruits of the indoctrination coming out in support of terrorism. Because, you know, that makes so much sense. So Joe Biden is asked yesterday by a reporter, hey, what do you think about this whole Israel, Gaza, Palestinian thing and these protests on college campuses and this abject failure by the people in charge, by the academic leadership, the president of the freaking University of Columbia being like, I don't really know what we should do. I think all Jewish students should go home. Oh, that's a great idea, right? And we're going to go to online learning because that worked so well during 2020 with COVID. Got a lot of my money's worth there with two kids in college during COVID, right? That knocked it out of the park. That's their solution. Not, hey, you with your trashy little tents, you pick up and get the hell off our campus or you're expelled. You who doesn't look like he or she goes to school here, give me your identification. Who are you? Get out of here. Because that's what would happen, right? If people, actual leaders, were in charge. So, Mr. President, what do you think about all of this? Should the president of Columbia University resign? He has no idea what this person's talking about. What? I don't know. I want you to hear his very fine people on both sides moment. Listen.
They submitted protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being
moved. Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way, Mr. President.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more.
He thinks that person just said, should they have resigned? And he's like, I didn't know that. That's not what happened, Joe. So we're vehemently against anti-Semitism, but we're kind of pro-terror. We are going to fund this war, but we're also going to give rockets and all sorts of heavy machinery to these terrorists who are fighting those people. We are going to meddle in everything, tell you nothing, and then expect to be exonerated because we're Democrats. And damn it, we can do whatever we want, right? How about this? Biden sees very fine people on both sides of campus anti-Semitism. This is what's rich. Because in order to create that very fine people narrative from Charlottesville that they've used repeatedly to allege that Donald Trump is just a jerk racist, right? Who likes Nazis. Get your torches, right? They had to take him out of context. They had to select certain words, certain places, eliminate context, cherry pick. Then, a la wrap up smear, run out to the media and say, did you hear? Did you hear what Donald Trump said? And then they run with it. Then it's on your New York Times. And it's, see, more and more people are aware of that. And so we're sort of like, who's really paying attention to the New York Times anymore? This article from Breitbart, and I think it's brilliant. President Joe Biden condemned anti-Semitism on college campuses Monday, but he equivocated. You know, kind of the hem and the haw. Well, yeah, it's bad, but it's not that bad. Because if it's that bad, then these people over here aren't going to vote for me. And I really want them to vote for me because I need to win Michigan. And Michigan is where all of these people, these pro-Hamas people are, right? And I really need them to vote for me. So, we need to understand the plight of the Palestinians. Really? I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. You just heard it. That's why I set up a program to deal with that. Joe Biden couldn't set up a lawn chair, right? He ain't setting up a program. By the way, there is no program that deals with people who are rabid leftists, who believe now is their day to be born. This is the cocoon emerging from phase of the cycle of the American leftist, right? We started this way, and then we got this cocoon thing going on, and now I'm about to bloom. I'm going to come out the other side. You're not going to recognize me, but I'm going to make your life interesting. I've set up a program. All right. This is what he says. Biden appeared to be referring to his so-called anti-Semitism strategy, which, by the way, if you want to kick yourself in your own butt, was crafted with the help of anti-Semitic groups like the Council on American-Islamic Relations. You know, CARE. Our friend national security expert John Guandolo talks to you about these people, right? These people, these extremists who have whittled their way into the highest echelons of our government. And I will remind you, of course, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, which is crafting this anti-Semitic strategy for Joe Biden. These were the clowns that the White House had to distance themselves from in December when they failed to condemn Hamas's brutal massacre at that music festival. Where young women and men enjoying music and each other had paragliders with thugs in them, gunning them down, and then parading their bodies in the back of pickup trucks. And this CARE group failed to condemn murder of innocent people. But the White House is using the same group. You know what? We don't have an original thought. Why don't you help us craft this policy? Because that freaking makes sense. Hey, Fox, come on over here. I know this is the hen house, and I know it's really tempting, and it looks fantastic to you. But here's what we got to do. I really need, just for a little bit, just keep watch, because we got some stuff we got to do. Right? Biden appeared to be referring to his so-called anti-Semitism strategy crafted with the help of suck groups like CARE, which the White House was forced to disavow because enough people were like, that's gross. As Breitbart News has noted, and this is important, just to tell you a little bit about this CARE. In 2007-08, CARE was named an unindicted co-conspirator in the terror financing trial of the Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development. That case, in turn, led the FBI to discontinue its work with the organization. But you know what? Enough time passes by. I'm sure they're fine. Let's just bring them back. Really? In 2009, a federal judge ruled that the government produced ample evidence to establish the ties of CARE with Hamas, the Palestinian terror organization. This is Joe Biden's fix. The wave of anti-Semitism all across these college campuses has engulfed nearly a dozen of these campuses across the country, where anti-Israel students have tried to set up encampments. It's George Floyd. You know, you can't go to the Capitol wearing a Make America Great Again hat. You can't be a grandma, 72, who likes to pray and walk into the Capitol as other people are walking in. And there are police standing there. They've moved the barricades. The doors are open. Nobody's stopping you. You walk in, walk up some steps, walk down to the rotunda, look around. Say a prayer, walk back down the hallway, back down the stairs, and out the way you came 10 minutes later, and face a year in jail. But if you're an indoctrinated college student who has no idea what's really going on here, you can protest, you can stab somebody in the eye. That happened at Yale. You can threaten people. You can make campuses unsafe. You can protest with torches like you're the villagers from Shrek walking to the campus president, their house, to try to browbeat them. You'd think that you have the right to go to the NYPD headquarters and try to storm the castle? Who the hell are you? And by the way, if that's one of your kids doing it, failure, failure. If I saw one of my kids on video at any of these freaking protests, I would be on the next plane to that town. I would walk to their dorm room, grab them by the shirt, and drag them out and say, "You're done. Time to get a full-time job. Because we need to deprogram you." Columbia Jewish students were taunted. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators chanted pro-terror and anti-Semitic slogans. These people don't see their own hypocrisy. Of course, whatever they think, it's what it should be. Ah, yes! Do you have any idea that if you were over there, they hate you as much as they hate everybody else? Because you're not Muslim! And you either convert or you die. It's such a flexible philosophy, isn't it? The situation at Columbia is so extreme, a Columbia rabbi had to tell the students there, Jewish students, go home. It's not safe. A Jewish professor was kept off campus. You are not allowed on campus. We can't protect you. And Kathy Hochul comes out. She's like, no, my job is to keep everybody safe. Well, how's that going, you twit? This is what happens when you vote Democrat, period. Joe Biden, oh, we're for Israel, but we're also for Hamas. Curious. Throw in some Nazis and you got Charlottesville. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, Alan Dershowitz having his own walk-away moment. What? Next. So I've had Alan Dershowitz on this show. I've gotten into a fight with Alan Dershowitz on this show. Brock, do you remember that? We're like, Professor, welcome. And
yeah,
we were
do.
Talking about COVID and certain things, right?
Yeah, and he was not happy.
He was not happy because I said he was wrong. And some people don't like being told they're wrong.
And newsflash,
he was wrong. And that's okay. And so I sat on it for a couple months. And then I figured I'm such a small fish in his huge ocean. He'd probably forget about it. And he did. And he came back on. So anyway, Alan Dershowitz. And I think Alan Dershowitz is something that's relatively unusual on the left. I think he owns his viewpoints and his biases. I think he is honest about them, about his proclivities, politically speaking. But something changed in him when President Trump at Mar-a-Lago asked the professor to be a part of his legal defense team. I forget which impeachment it was. I think the second one. And Dershowitz's wife was adamant. No, I do not like this guy. I do not like Republicans. And to Dershowitz, it wasn't about Republican or Democrat. It was about the Constitution and preserving the sanctity of our founding. The papers that tell us the way our founding fathers felt about where they wanted us to go centuries after they had passed away. Alan Dershowitz wanted to be a part of that, and he was a highly effective defense lawyer for Donald Trump. This doesn't mean that they're buddies now, and it certainly didn't mean that he started voting Republican. But he has been pushed and nudged towards the center for a long time now. This campus stuff, the lack of leadership, the lack of an adult. And I think this is really exposing the underbelly of walking away from a meritocracy and not being fiercely protective of our elections. Because they've been co-opted. People who have no business being in office somehow magically always seem to get there. And it's got to change. JustTheNews.com headline, Alan Dershowitz says he is no longer loyal to the Democratic Party. after these protests at Columbia. He's a Democrat who's been a major critic of President Biden and the current administration. He said his party has been, quote, an extraordinary disappointment. His party, Democrats, an extraordinary disappointment. Because they have not been at all vocal about the pro-Palestine protests at Columbia University. Now, I could give you 75,000 other reasons why they've been very disappointing. But we're going to focus on this. Because when you start peeling away people like Robert Kraft, right? You start peeling away people like Ken Ackman, billionaires who fund the endowments, who build the buildings, who are part of the never-ending construction on college campuses as it's constantly, it's like your house, right? You go from one room to another in renovations. By the time you're done, your first project is old enough that you probably have to start again. That's what it is on college campuses. Harvard professor emeritus Alan Dershowitz stated he no longer has any loyalty to the Democratic Party, said this yesterday, and that he would not exclusively vote Democrat in future elections. I freaking switched parties when they told me John McCain and Mitt Romney were my best options. I was like, say what? You lazy SOBs, that's as good as you got? Two Melba Toast white guys of meh? Really? I said basic fungu to the Republican Party, bailed, and changed to Libertarian, where I voted for many years. Will it take some people a little bit longer? Dershowitz seems to be there. He's a longtime Democrat. He's been a major critic of Joe Biden and this administration. The extraordinary disappointment, of course. We're hearing nothing from Democrats, he says. We're hearing nothing from Chuck Schumer. He's a shill. Dude is a multi-millionaire. He went to Harvard, got a law degree. Schumer never practiced law a moment in his life. Bounced right into the Senate. And he's been there like a turd, doing turd-like things for 40 years. Super. We're hearing nothing really direct from President Biden, Dershowitz said. He made a very disappointing statement. In the same breath, he talked about the demonstrators in passing and said, but you have to understand the Palestinian situation. No, you don't have to understand the Palestinian situation. When people are calling for rape and murder and beheading, the Democrats are an extraordinary disappointment. I am no longer presumptively voting for Democrats. It's like black voters. Yo, I'm so tired of you using and abusing me and rolling into my district when you know you need the votes. Because you crap on me the way you crapped on my parents, the way you crapped on my gram, and the way you're going to continue to crap on my kids and steal their futures. I am no longer voting presumptively for Democrats. I'm going to vote for whoever is the best candidate. That may include Democrats, but I no longer have loyalty to the party anymore. And then, of course, what do you have to slam? All this diversity, equity, and inclusion mumbo jumbo. All of this suck. By the way, it's not an exclusive East Coast cesspool of filth and suck. UCLA. Oh, better hang on to the show today, friends. Do not skip a moment of today's program because we're going to take you to the left coast because it's happening there too. You want to kapow in the face of the diversity, equity, inclusion, box checking hires? Well, yeah, this one makes Claudine Gay seem docile and silly. Oh, so much to talk about. And we're only done with the first hour. What? Let's go. This is embarrassing. That's what Jonathan Turley from George Washington University said about day one of Alvin Bragg's hush money trial. It was ridiculous. I've got the details. You're going to smile next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.